And welcome back to Coast to Coast. Richard Dolan, our guest. Your phone calls. We're going to take all those calls. Richard's website is Keyhole, H-O-L-E, publishing.com. Are you glad you went into the direction now that you've gone? That you're not doing history and everything else that you were doing before?
I feel like I've been liberated and am living outside the matrix now.
Really?
Yeah, I do. I really do.
Is that exciting for you?
I've loved it. I don't go into UFO research for money, which that's really good because I haven't gotten any. But I'm
you're not going to get rich.
No. But
in this field, believe me,
it's been immensely rewarding. It was a difficult decision 10 years ago or so when I decided to leave the academic world. I was very good at what I did, and there could have been a future as a professor, a tenure track, whatever. And of course, I would never have been able to do this kind of research. It's very unlikely. So you know, going into the UFO field has just taken me into all of the other forbidden topics. And as nutty as our world happens to be, I like being right on the outside, believe me. I think it's the most sane place to be. And if I can follow up on our point just before the break, George, mm-hmm. I really want to mention this regarding disclosure. I think that it is fundamentally incompatible. Full UFO disclosure is incompatible with our current system of government and society. I really believe this. I've been kind of talking around this all the show, but I don't think that you can have both, disclosure or the system. I mean, one has got to go. And for the last 50, 60 years, we have had the system has been in place. And I do believe that full disclosure, and the only way to do it is, as you said, the full boat, would end up transforming our system so fundamentally. We'd have something completely different. But that's not necessarily a bad thing. The change is frightening to us, but
I think we'd become global.
You can't do it forever.
If they come clean, I think the strangely enough, the globalists who would like a one world government, I think it'll happen fast that way. If they disclose at the right time, and maybe that's what they're waiting for, Richard. Maybe there's a bigger plan here. Maybe we haven't seen it.
Well, we have to be careful because if they're doing the disclosing, we have to say, you know, what are your motivations? You can't just take the
and why now? Why are you telling us now?
Right, exactly. So we can't just take those at face value. But the thing is, it won't happen. We won't take it at face value. I mean, one person suggested to me in an email. This is after my last article came out. He said, "Look, it could just happen that the military could do like a new official scientific study, like the old Condon Committee. And let's say that this study now determines that ET is probably here." Wouldn't that work? And I said, no, it's not going to work because no one would believe that the government has no other information on this.
Exactly.
So that once you open this lid, it's going to come out and it will be transformative. Will that result in tighter authoritarian kind of centralized control? I don't know, but we're moving in that direction already. And again, I believe that truth must be a good thing. Truth cannot be a bad thing. If there's any faith that I have, it is in this thing called truth. I will maintain this to my dying day, George. We've got
to
believe in truth.
Let's go to
the phones. If you don't believe in truth, you believe in nothing.
Pick it up by going east of the Rockies. Welcome to Coast. Hi there.
Hello.
Welcome to the show where it is 4:14 in the morning, wherever you are.
My name's Jason. I'm in Denton, Maryland.
Okay, Jason, go ahead.
Well, you guys, I was trying to call you the other night. You had a guest on there speaking on this topic, who was a specialist in disinformation, and that'll lead into my question.
Sure.
Tonight's guest put forth the possibility that we are the experiment rather than the experimentor, and I wonder if you have considered what I've long held to be true, that Art Bell, actually, I think, is on the right track with his fascination with holes in the ground. Everyone keeps calling these visitors extraterrestrial, and I wonder if you've considered the possibility that they're not extraterrestrial, but extra-dimensional, and in fact demons, and they're not visiting us at all, but they live right here.
That is an excellent question, Jason, I have thought about this a lot. And in fact, I usually try to avoid using the phrase ET or extraterrestrial. I mean, I've been using it a bit tonight. But what I try to say specifically is that whatever they are, they're not us. And there have been over, you know, the decades, every now and then you get some pretty good speculation that these are homegrown entities. So I do absolutely keep this as a real possibility. I mean, for example, there are many ocean-based, let's call them UFO sightings, for lack of a better word. There are many sightings in the oceans of highly anomalous things going on. And so is it entirely possible that there is a group, a highly advanced group that's in the oceans? Could have they have created a base inside an underwater ocean mountain? Absolutely. And so could they have evolved here with us? Could they be interdimensional? I would never say no. So
that's amazing.
I think we have to be careful and cautious in respect to the facts that we have, but also we have to be able to you know, be flexible intellectually to really consider these possibilities.
It's amazing that you say that you speak of the ocean, because all throughout the Bible, and especially in Job 41, the Lord speaks of Satan as the dragon in the sea. And we have in Genesis chapter 6 the Lord telling us that we were visited by fallen angels, and that they cohabitated with our females and created a race of giants. And that you've spoken about this on your show about the Nephilim.
Sure.
And the Lord Jesus said that, and that was specifically dated Genesis chapter 6. That was the time of the flood that was just preceding Noah and the reason for the flood. And the Lord Jesus said that in the latter days, which I believe we're in with the return of Israel to her homeland in 1948, the Lord Jesus said that the coming of the Son of Man, the latter days, would be just as the days of Noah. And he specifically said that people would be marrying and giving in marriage. And that seems rather strange, as that's always been the case. And the only reference to Noah's day for marriage is the cohabitation with fallen angels.
Well, you're coming at this from a very definitively biblical perspective, and I would also point out that there are cultures around the world, traditional cultures, that have also spoken of ocean-based god-like figures. The Central American, the Mayan tradition, I think, or the Aztecs, have the tradition of Viracocha, and who came from the water. And prior, of course, as I'm sure you are aware, prior even to the composition of the Bible, the Sumerians had the flood story as well. This is actually much older even than the biblical version of it. So I think that you are, you know, you're speaking to something that is that ancient people have been kind of groping around with and explaining in from their particular perspectives. And so, yes, I mean, to answer your question originally, you know, I think that an extraterrestrial answer is entirely a reasonable way to go on this. But the world is a much more complex place than we normally think in our common sense. So could they be from other places and inhabiting other dimensions? Yes, I think that's true. I mean, there are probably other dimensions of reality. We do have, I certainly believe, non-physical dimensions to ourselves. And so I think that's also true of these beings.
You talk-